to this great church that God has allowed me to be your pastor. Please hear the sound of my voice today. If God has called you to be a modern-day New Testament born-again believer, if God has called you to be a leader, if he has called you to be a youth worker, a Harvest Kids teacher, a father, a mother, or a friend, whatever your status in life as a Christian, let me tell you today that your one solitary life is that nail for someone. We may not realize it, but valuable individuals are hanging on us. Precious lives, treasured things are hanging on you. And if you fall, not only does it affect your life, but it has a residual effect on all of those around you. Souls that are depending on the strength of your place in the kingdom of God. I can remember a couple of years ago in our house in Texas before we had moved here, the boys shared a room, and they had a closet. It was not too big, but it did, and they had all kinds of clothes and different things hanging on it, and toys and tools and whatever else, and ties and belts and all of that. One day, someone went to get something out of the closet and noticed that everything had fallen, and it was a mess. And so, of course, Dad's called to investigate to see what happened and what went wrong, and when it was all said and done, it was one nail. Isaiah spoke of the offspring and the glory of his father's house hanging on him as that nail in a sure place. I want you to hear this, preacher, today. Your family is hanging on you. Young people, your friends and your associates are hanging on you. Dear precious saint, the souls of others are hanging on your life. Our text speaks today of lesser vessels, from bowls to jars and those things that are hanging on you. You are that nail, and we must be fastened in a sure place. After that experience in the closet there, looking at that situation that had to be repaired, I thought, oh God, I've got two boys that are hanging on me. I've got children that are hanging on me. Lord, I want to be a nail fastened in a sure place. Lord, they're depending upon me. They're depending upon my actions. They're looking at my leadership. They're looking at what I would do, both in good days and in bad days, because they're hanging on me. Come on, can I tell somebody today, there's some things that are hanging on you. There are some precious lives that are hanging on you. We've got to realize today there is more to life than just living and dying, but you have an impact on those that are around you. Parents, it does not matter what you say. It does matter what you say. It does matter what you do. Your children are watching you. Their salvation depends upon you. Amen. Whether or not you make church a priority in your life, it does affect them. They're hanging on you. I would hope today that you would come and you'd come to the church and be saved yourself. But if I can't convince you to do it for yourself, could I convince you that you need to be in the house of the Lord every time the doors are open, because someone is hanging on your life? Those precious, innocent children, they can't drive themselves to church. They can't make their way here yet. They're depending on someone to be the nail in a sure place. You're the nail in their life. You're to be the sure place in their life. Their salvation depends on us. Their well-being depends on our choices. They're hanging on us. Grandparents, those little ones are hanging on your every move. You're influencing them whether you realize it or not. Your actions speak louder than words. See, every one of us here today, our life is not our own. It's been bought with a price, and our actions are not just about our own life, because every one of us has someone who's hanging on us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 tells us, "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." We're living in the last days when I believe that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It must be, the Bible says, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Oh, I pray somebody would hear these words today. We've got to make sure that we're a nail in a sure place, because valuable things are hanging on our life. The enemy knows that his time is short. He's a better student of Bible prophecy than any end time scholar. And he's launching his most deadly attack in this last dish effort to get us to sell out our lives and our walk with the Lord. He's doing everything he can to destroy as many as he can. And don't you know that he'd like to take out those precious souls, those lives that are hanging on you. And he realizes he may not have to affect all of them, but if he can affect you, if he can affect that one person, if he can do something against that father and cause them to become bitter, if he can affect that mother and get her to quit coming to church, if he can touch that one life, he knows that he'll affect everybody else around them. He's coming against the church like never before. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Every wind of doctrine is blowing through the church world today. And false doctrine is destroying those who have not been driven as a nail into the sure place of God's word and God's spirit. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 and 5 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Later on in the same chapter, Matthew 24, 24 tells us, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." What a harrowing thought that the very elect would be deceived. I tell you, we must be a nail driven into a sure place. We must sink our lives into the Word and the Spirit of God. We've got to make sure we have a foundation that's going to last through the storm. Oh, somebody hear me today. You've got to be a nail in a sure place. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for the stability that he's given us here at Harvest. Thank God for the years of leadership by Bishop and Sister Eddings. And I'm so grateful for the solid foundation that we all have to build our families on today because of their sacrifice and the sacrifice of so many of you here today building a work for the kingdom of God. 2 years ago, when God began working and putting all of this together for us to come here as your pastor, Bishop and I began discussing various transition items. We, of course, each, you know, wanted protection for our own interest, but each of us also wanted protection for the church. And I must say that I believe Harvest has one of the best situations that we could ask for. As pastor, God has tasked me with the leadership of the church, and I'm thankful to carry on in the same vision and the same spirit that Bishop has led this church in for years. But should I, as pastor, ever decide to get a little crazy about doctrine? Oh, come on, God forbid, but should I ever decide to leave this precious truth? I want to tell you, there's protection for this church. There's protection for this church. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. There's protection in that we have a council of elders. They are dedicated to protecting this church from false doctrine as well as from outside influences which would seek to destroy. And there's protection in that Bishop and I both, we're accountable to our council of elders. There's protection in this pastor-bishop relationship, and we're accountable to one another. And I tell you, the attack of the enemy is on against this church. But God has a plan for us. God has set an open door before us. But that doesn't mean that the enemy is happy about it. And so we've got to realize that the shaking is going to come. There is going to be trials. There will be tests that come. But if we've been driven as a nail in a sure place, if we've been driven in the Word of God, if we've been driven in the doctrine of this precious truth, then we're going to be able to stand the test of time. And those that are hanging on us will have a sure place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe and I'm so thankful that harvest can be a sure place to build our lives upon as we build the church on the foundation of Jesus Christ and the apostles. The attack of the enemy is on not only against the church, but against the home. The attack upon traditional marriage is just one symptom. There's also divorce and adultery and abuse. They're all on the rise. It's all part of Satan's evil scheme to destroy the first institution that God created in the beginning, marriage and the family. I'm not here to try to scare anybody or freak you out, but I hope you're awake enough to realize that the enemy is attacking your home. And he is attacking your marriage, and he is attacking your family. And you've got to realize that attack will come, that shaking will come. But we've got to be a nail driven into a sure place if we're going to stand in this hour. Hey, and you think it's bad in our world right now? Let me let you in on a little secret. It's only going to get worse. Hey, man, there's more to come. This is just the beginning. But we're going to be encouraged today. We're not going to be troubled today. We're not going to be shaken today. We're not going to be disillusioned or disappointed. But you drive your life. You drive your life like a nail into a sure place, into this apostolic message, into the doctrine of the New Testament church, into the foundation of Jesus Christ. You drive yourself into this truth and never let yourself be pulled from it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, you've got to make sure you've been driven in deep because valuable things are hanging on us. Your entire household hangs upon you. Those precious children who call you mom and dad are hanging on you. If you are a leader in this church, people are following you. If you're part of the youth ministry, young people are following you, imitating you, looking to you. Be sure that their nail is in a sure place. Who knows? Who knows? Harvest Kids teachers. Maybe the only Jesus some of those kids ever see is what you teach them about every week, what you show them and how you treat them and love them. Be a nail in a sure place. Because of the prophet Eli's failure, so did his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, fail as well. It was when Lot set up his tent towards Sodom and pulled away from Abraham that the nail began to loosen and finally fell. And when it did, his whole household fell with him. He lost his family. And from their great sin, two races of people were created, the Moabites and the Ammonites, who became the fiercest enemies of the people of God. Lot was wishy-washy. He wanted to straddle the fence, so to speak, and he didn't drive in his nail into a sure place, a solid place, as Abraham had done. There are too many today who take the mercy of God for granted. They weigh the temptation of the world, and they consider pursuing sin for a season. And then, of course, they do plan on one day taking advantage of the mercy of God at a later date. But oh, they need to hear the story of Manasseh. He was king of Judah, and the whole nation, including his own family, followed him into idolatry. And all of those hanging on his leadership followed him into false religion. The Assyrians came against him, and they wiped out his armies, and they put him in a Babylonian prison. And in Manasseh's case, years passed, and eventually he repented, and God delivered him. And he allowed him to reign as king again. Thank God for his mercy. But even though Manasseh made it back, the nation never returned fully to God, and neither did his family. before you turn your back on the church and walk away to pursue our own path. Oh, take a hard, long look at the consequences today. You may be able to make it back one day because of the mercy of God, but those who are depending upon you, they may not make it back. Your family may not be able to make that trip. Don't you even be tempted, but you be a nail in a sure place. You sink yourself into the church. You sink yourself into the Word of God. Be a nail in a sure place. A nail by itself, it can't hold up anything. It doesn't matter if it's a big nail or a small nail. In and of itself, it's incapable of holding any kind of weight. We must have the tenacity of a nail. But don't get too excited and exalted about how strong we are. We're nothing in ourselves, but what matters most is what we're fastened to. This nail can accomplish nothing until it is driven into wood that is solid and that is strong. Drive your nail today into a strong and a solid support, because valuable things, the eternal salvation of your entire household, those things are hanging on that nail. It's not the nail, but it's what the nail has been nailed into, and it's how far it's been driven into it that matters. Come on, commitment is when we drive that nail deep. It's one thing to try the nail in just a little bit, thinking, well, one day I'll be able to pull it out if I need to. One day I'll take it out from there and I'll go put it somewhere else. Hey, I want to tell you, that's not real commitment. Commitment is when you say, I'm going to drive this in deep because I want to make sure that it never fails. I want to make sure that it's never removed. I want to make sure that it has strength to stand. Hallelujah. Drive your nail into the church. Drive your nail into the Word of God. It is all that is going to last. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. Matthew 24, 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Psalm 119 and 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Harvest Ministries, this is an apostolic Jesus name church. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in soul winning. We believe in prayer. I'm thankful for the atmosphere and the spirit of prayer that has swept through our church this year. Come on, we believe in revival. We stand upon the Word of God. Come on, that's the kind of place that we need to be building our lives around. Hey, you get involved. You get your family involved. Belong to the church. Support the church. Support it with your tithes. Support it with your offerings. Be faithful in attendance. Be loyal to it. Hey, you pray for your pastor. You lift your bishop up before the Lord. There is nothing that can replace the church in your spiritual life. God has committed that he's going to bless the church. Drive the nail of your life into the church and don't ever let it be pulled back. Be a nail in a sure place. Have you ever perhaps nailed something in and you thought, oh, I need to change something, I need to move it, I need to whatever, and so you pull it out. Then maybe you try to put it back in the same place. And each time that nail is removed, and each time it's replaced, it becomes less and less secure. We just need to make up our minds today. I'm not going to be in and out of the church. I'm not going to live for God one day and then something else comes along and I go and then I come back. And what you're doing is you're taking the roots that God's trying to give you and you're pulling up and it's damaging your root system. It's damaging the strength. Come on, we've got to drive it in deep and say, I'm committed. I'm committed. I just make up my mind. I'm going to live for God. Hey, there's valuable issues hanging on us today, and the decisions that we make today will affect generations to come. Our response, it has a profound effect on those who are hanging on us. You see, this is really not just about today, but it's about eternity. This is about what God has destined for this church to be long ago. It's about what he's going to do to fulfill his plan through us in the future. Be a nail in a sure place that will make a difference for eternity. I wonder if my family would join me here in the altar area. I'm thankful for the family God's blessed me with. Amen, I am. Honey, I want you to know I got the better end of that deal. I'm thankful. Amen, I believe it. Two beautiful girls. I love y'all. I love you. Two strong young men. They're getting stronger, but I still took care of them last night, a little wrestling session. I can't get them both at the same time. I have to get one and then get the other now. I'm going to tell you, this nail right here is representing our life, representing our family. There's nothing more important than driving this nail into the things of God and being sure that we're going to live for God all of our life. I want y'all to grow up, and I want y'all to be great and have careers and go to college and be soul winners and all of that. But I want to tell you, before any of that, you've got to be saved. Daniel, you've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. Colt, I don't want you to be lost to go to hell. Girls, I don't want you to win the whole world and then lose your own soul. This is the most important thing. And so, boys, I want you to help me here. Family, I wonder if you just gather around right now. Trust me. Come hold that for me. I want to tell you, some things that God started, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the work that he's done. I'm thankful for baptizing you in the name of Jesus. What a wonderful privilege as a dad to baptize your kids. I tell you, in Colt, it wasn't too long ago we baptized him. We wanted to make sure we got him baptized right. It's the most important thing. So we drive it a little deeper. And time goes on, and you know, trials come, and things start to kind of try to waver us. But instead of pulling it out and say, you know what, we'll go try something else. No, I'm going to drive my nail into the things of God even more. And Daniel, I know you've been going through some things, and my family's been going through some things, but I want to tell you, instead of staying out of church and instead of going to do other things, I want to tell you, this is where we need to be, and we're going to drive it in even more. And I realize one day you're going to grow up and you're going to go out on your own, but I pray that we keep driving this in faithfully into the Word of God and faithfully into the things of God, because this is where it's at. We've got to have our lives in the church. Because the enemy's going to come, and there's going to be a shaking, and there's going to be some things, trials and tests that come, and we've got to make sure it's driven deep. Come on, some of you are feeling what I'm talking about. This is the most important thing today. We've got to drive the nail of our life, the nail of our family, into the things of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Make sure it's in there. Make sure it's solid. Make sure it's not coming out. Make sure we're not going to go some other way. But this is the truth. I tell you, this is where we need to be, is in the things of God, in the church. I'm not going to look for another church. I'm not going to look for another way, but I'm going to sink everything I have into this. Don't just sit on the front pew. I'll need you just a minute. We've got to drive that nail of commitment in with everything we have. How committed are we? Do we understand the weight that is hanging on us? Are we willing to drive a nail deep in the things of God and say, I make a commitment? We're selling out. I'm not going to be bought out by the things of the world, but I'm selling out to Jesus Christ. Much hangs on that nail in a sure place for this church, particularly for the younger generation, for the future of this church, for developing ministries and developing ministers and unsaved. And who knows what God is going to bring out of this church, other churches and perhaps missionaries and ministers and preachers and apostolic ministries. I want to tell you, but it depends on us driving that nail in a sure place. In our text today from Isaiah chapter 22, verse 22, we read, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. It kind of reminds me of Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man opened. I know thy works. Behold, I have set thee before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Harvest, I feel like that's preaching directly to us where we're at today, that God has set before us an open door and no man can shut it, because there's been a little strength that has kept us through the years, Bishop, and you've kept my word, Bishop, and people, you kept the word of God, and you stood by truth, and we've not denied his name, and we've not looked for an easier way, but we said, I'm selling out to this. And through our prayers and through our planning over the work that has been made this past year, we feel that God has opened a door for us to prepare for the future. I don't know exactly how it's all going to come about. I'll tell you, there's a huge element of faith here, Bishop. Our board of directors, there's a huge element of faith. It's going to take a miracle. But there's an open door. Some other doors have been shut, but right now we have an open door before us. And we're going to step through it, and we're going to believe that God is going to direct us in the steps along the way. Come on. And I believe it's more than just for the church, but I believe there's an open door for some of our families and some of these young people, and they're excited about it. And I'm seeing some of these children involved in this campaign and the planning of it, and there's an open door there. There's an open door for our young families. There's an open door for you seniors that want to make sure a legacy is left for your children and for your grandchildren. There's an open door for us to walk through. Amen. We feel that for this time, the most cost and time effective next step is to expand this facility to get to that next level of 500 plus in attendance. But first, we've got to reduce the debt load on this present structure. And so we feel that God is directing us in this capital stewardship campaign and the mission in motion to step through the open door that he's prepared for us. In preparation for today, we've all been in prayer, sincere prayer about what the Lord would have us do. We've had our family meetings. We've prayerfully considered what God would have us give. We've examined each of the six areas of the miracle equation, and I believe that we've heard from the Lord. I really do. And so we're going to make a commitment today. Right now, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to ask that each of you as giving units would complete your commitment cards as God has directed you. And we're going to come forward today, and we're going to drive this envelope. We're going to place the commitment card inside the envelope, and we're going to drive our commitment into the pillars on the sides of this door today, signifying that we're driving our commitment into this church, into the Word of God, and the God-given destiny that God has prepared for us. I wonder if you'd just pray with me right now, because I feel like God's talking to our hearts. We want to be open and willing to hear what He would have for us. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, we believe that You've led us here. This has not been a campaign out of pressure. God, You know I've done my best not to talk to anybody and try to influence them in any way to give a certain amount or anything like that, Lord. But I've asked people just to pray and let God lead them. And so today we're making a commitment together as a church family to go to the next step, to walk through the door that You presented for us. I pray that You deal with our hearts, God. I pray that You deal with our hearts, God, and help us to hear what You would have us do. Help us, Lord, to have the faith to walk through that door. And I pray, God, that You will bless this effort. Lord, after we do all that we can do, I pray, God, that You would step in and that You would bring miraculous provision. God, I'm asking that You'd bless young people. I'm asking that You would bless these families. I'm asking that You would bless elderly people that are even on a fixed income. God, I ask that You would bring miraculous provision in the name of Jesus. When we respond and we would do everything that we can do, God, I believe that You're going to bring that element of faith to pass, and You're going to work a mighty miracle for this church and ultimately for Your kingdom, God. That's what it's all about, for the souls of the kingdom of God. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to us today. We thank You for what You're doing, and we pray, God, that Your blessing would be upon us here today. In Jesus' name. And so I ask that You would go down the areas of this commitment card, disposable income, cash reserve, total amount there, disposable assets, total amount monthly giving over 36 months, that total amount over the 36 months, personal sacrifice, fundraising. You may not know an exact amount, but you've got to good guess of what it could be, and you're willing to work towards that there. And the miraculous provision. I think we all need a financial miracle, and so we're believing, and God knows what He spoke to you about regarding that. And then add all of that up, and that would be your total commitment over 36 months over this 3-year campaign. I'm going to ask you if you come help me again. Come help me, Dean. Get a hammer, get a nail. Okay, Dean, can you help me? Okay, now let Colt get a few shots at that. All right, Lauren, watch out. Brooklyn, Sister McCoy. Amen. Come on. Folks, I realize this is sacrifice, but I will tell you, I believe that God is going to bless her sacrifice. I'm not giving just because of the blessings that I know they're going to come, but I'm giving because God's dealt with their heart. We had our family meeting, and I want to tell you, each of these kids had a different thing that they wanted to do and be a part of and giving. And I tell you, it blesses a dad's heart when you hear kids say, well, I would give this and I would do that. And I'm going to tell you, there's no better investment we can make than in the kingdom of God. I know some of our board members would like to come right now, and some of our ministers and bishop and Sister Eddings. I don't want to assume anything of anybody, but I know they're wanting to come, and then our musicians are going to come, and we're going to sing that song again about the open door. But I wonder if you just stand with me all across this house, and I wonder if we could just be in a spirit of prayer as these would come and begin to drive their commitments in, and I wonder if you'd just be in prayer with me right now for these commitments that we're making. Amen. We're not asking you to all give equally, but we're asking that we'd all sacrifice together, and we're going to believe that God is going to bless, and that God is going to provide, and God is going to do an awesome work today. Praise the Lord. Come on, would you be in prayer right now? Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to commit this to you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for how you're moving. We thank you, Lord, for the doors that you're opening. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And those others of you that would like to come, musicians, if you'd come next so you could get to the platform. But we're going to believe God together. Come on, we're sacrificing together. We're believing together in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Would you just thank the Lord for what he's doing? Lord, we worship you for it right now. God, we praise you for it right now. God, we give you all the praise. We give you all the worship, Lord. God, we're nothing without you. But Lord, with you, we believe that you're going to enable us, that you're going to provide, that you're going to bless, and we're going to walk through that open door. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, that's a sound of some commitments being made. And right now, maybe you've already made your financial commitment, but I wonder if you can make some spiritual commitments to the Lord as well. God, this year, I'm going to live for you like never before. I'm going to serve you like never before. I'm going to sacrifice like never before because I want to go to another level. I want to see the power of God. I want to see the blessings of God. I want to see an outpouring of your spirit, God, in my family and in this city. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, would you just let there be an atmosphere of praise and worship in this house? Hallelujah. God, we want to walk through that open door. We want to walk through that door that you placed before us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God. Lord, we're making a commitment before you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Resisting all the changes the days and years can bring. When God decides to lead us through